Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcast of the Roundtable at BillMick.com. I'm excited about this week's show. Longtime friend and veteran space reporter Jim Banky joins me as we talk Florida and space, and what an exciting time in the space industry. We had the recent series of shows on artificial intelligence and everything related to that world. Technology moves at a rapid pace. It seems that space is doing the same thing. We're seeing a record number of launches from the Space Coast this year. We've got a lot of development going on in commercial and even space tourism. We'll talk that, maybe a little of the politics and what's happening with NASA headquarters and with astronauts on the space station ahead on this edition of the Florida Roundtable.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Feeling the aches and pains of everyday life slowing you down? Introducing Blue Emu, America's number one emu oil formula for pain relief. In a recent clinical trial, 91% of users saw improvement after using Blue Emu. Whether you're working hard, playing harder, or just staying active, Blue Emu penetrates deep to relieve joint and muscle pain fast. And best of all, you won't stink. Join the 91% who felt the difference. Find Blue Emu at your local retailer or online. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
You can depend on Florida farmers. We're your neighbors. Our farm is where we live and work. It's where we raise our families and provide for yours. When you see our logo in the store, you know that our name is on it because we stand behind it. When you shop for Florida-grown fruits and vegetables, look for local. Choose Fresh from Florida, the homegrown brand of Florida farmers.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Bill Mick with dear friend and veteran space reporter Jim Banky. It's good to see you in the studio, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Bill, this is great. I haven't been in the studio for a long time, so it's good to be face-to-face with you
at
once.
It's been a long time, and I'm glad you're here. Jim, you've covered this forever.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a record number of launches. Year after year, this is happening.
It's getting bigger.
And we've got another one coming.
Yeah.
And It's amazing to watch from here, but it's almost like these SpaceX launches, plus the others that are scattered amongst, are a daily occurrence, or nearly so.
It's amazing. I have been a space cadet my whole life.
Yes, you have.
Right? Mm-hmm. Going way back to Apollo and the first episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, you and me both.
And there were times in my career where you'd count down for every launch, and you'd be out there, and no matter day or night, covering it. Launches here on WMNB for all those years. It didn't matter when.
Going together out for the big ones out to the Space Center.
My gosh. Okay, so that's all to say I have slept through more launches in the middle of the night to find out the next day there was a launch last night.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Which is very unusual for you.
For me, you know, and the other day I went into the bank to do some business and I came out and there's a plume in the sky.
Right.
I missed another launch. They're so often now. That do we take it for granted? We probably do.
But then you stop and think, how great is this?
How cool is this?
Yeah.
You know, they talk about being Florida Space Coast. And actually, after all these years, we really are. We are a spaceport. Mm-hmm. We have rockets going up and coming back. We have vehicles in the works. We have new vehicles going up. The New Glenn, Blue Origin's New Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Monster rocket.
Yeah.
Was incredible the way it lit up the sky. And the way it lit up the sky with the kind of engines that it has where it burns methane instead of hydrogen. It's blue. Look at all the streak shots that were published.
Yeah.
That's a blue line coming from the bottom of the rocket, right. Not an orange line. We've never seen that before. So this is an exciting time to be on the Space Coast. And people who come into town and worry, we wonder if there's going to be another launch, don't sweat it. You know, don't even plan your vacation around launch, because by the time you get here, there's going to be a launch over the next 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, and we still face delays and things sure. that change them, whether it's technical things or weather conditions.
Sure.
But in another couple of days, there's another coming around.
And the Space Coast is embracing it. Family came into town. We had our family Christmas this past weekend for a variety of reasons. And I checked in, my son and his wife, in a local hotel here in Vieira. And there on the counter is the next launch sign, a handmade next launch sign.
Okay.
Now, we've been advocating that for years, and we tried to do sponsorship in all sorts of ways that we try to get the local folks to do that. And that's kind of popular along Cocoa Beach. But here we are in Vieira, and yet people are so excited, and they want to know when the next launch is. And people come to town, and we can satisfy that itch.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
always another launch within the next few days. And we have SpaceX to thank for that. And that means money and economic growth and people employed and activity and publicity for the Space Coast. I don't see a downside to any of it.
Well, I remember you telling me years ago that there is probably no county in the state of Florida that does not benefit from the space program in some regard.
That is still true, and that used to be a problem for us in terms of statewide politics. Everyone thought, well, this, you know, we're going to spend all this money on Space Florida or whatever, and that only benefits Brevard. No, it doesn't. There is a piece of the space pie. And the aerospace pie, which is a much larger thing than just the space segment, truly in every county in the state. And although I have not seen the latest numbers, I would venture that fact remains true to
contractors working from their homes, doing those kind of types of things,
subcontractors, parts suppliers, you know, the whole gamut of what it takes to support a space program and a launch vehicle program. There's so many pieces to it, and it keeps growing as more people want to come to Brevard and build their satellites and launch their satellites and do their space-related business here in Florida.
And it's more extensive than people would think, what it takes to make this happen.
Oh, you know, when you think about just building a hangar for a new rocket, that's not just about the rocket. Those are metal workers and union workers and contractors of all sorts to get that thing to happen.
Space this weekend on the Roundtable.
Want to feel better and live healthier? Florida's transit connects to health. Taking transit instead of driving can reduce stress, improve your well-being, and give you more time for the things you love. Whether you're walking to the bus stop or rail station, heading to your favorite park or gym, or making it to a doctor's appointment, transit keeps you moving and connected to your health. Take a deep breath, hop on, and let Florida's transit connect you to a healthier lifestyle. Visit transitconnectsflorida.com to learn more about routes and schedules that support your well-being.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the Tax Pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable with veteran space reporter Jim Banky. I'm Bill Mick. Thank you for spending your time with us here on the Florida News Network.
Great to be with you today again, Bill.
Jim, it's always fun when we get a chance to get together.
Yeah.
I guess the biggest story in space over the last year or so is the misnamed stranded astronauts from the Boeing Starliner trip to the space station. The Starliner itself came back successfully, safely, but without astronauts.
Right.
And as you noted the last time we were together here on the roundtable, these folks were not stranded. They could have left if it was required that they do so, but it wasn't yet.
All my fellow media people that I've grown to love over the years, you know, and I still see them using words like stranded and stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I get editors are excited by that. And I understand click-throughs and views and page views and all the hype that goes with news media these days. But they've never been stuck. They're not stuck now. They never were stuck. There was always, from day one, a way to get them back. NASA would not put people on board the space station without a way to get them back. Now, you can...
That sounds like a PR release from a sci-fi movie where that's not really what happened,
Well,
Jim.
That's not what happened.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Starliner got up, and so there were some systems that were suspect.
Uh-huh.
And there's an ideal situation, and there's a safety situation where what's your definition of safety and how safe is safe and what risk are you willing to accept on a test flight of a new vehicle? And so a lot of those things that get really deep into engineering and math and risk assessments and statistics. And I know statistics because I took the course three times in college.
Okay, very good.
You know, so...
Which is why he's reporting on space, not going into
not
it.
Going and not designing the vehicles.
Yeah.
Right, right. That's so true. That's more true than you are aware. But you put all that together and you try to decide, you know, what's the right thing to do. And NASA was faced with a difficult decision. They had a vehicle where there were things happening from a fundamental physics standpoint that they didn't understand.
Okay.
They couldn't explain why these thrusters were doing what they were doing. They knew from testing that they would probably be okay and probably being 99.99% okay to bring them back on Starliner. But you always have that one little element, right? Mm-hmm. That one little piece of doubt in your head that says, well, we can't fully explain this. And so you build this rationale, this flight rationale for what you're going to do with them. And you couldn't give yourself 100% assurance, and you never have 100% assurance. But again, there was this thing about, well, we don't really understand why this Teflon and this heat and all this is doing what it's doing. So now you've got this doubt, and you say, well, heck with it. We're astronauts. We're testing. We're the right stuff. Let's just put them on there and go. And then someone says, well, what about Columbia? And what about Challenger?
Mm-hmm.
And what did we learn there where we knew we had a problem and we risk assessed ourselves out of worrying about that problem and we lost 14 astronauts over the course of the shuttle program?
Wow.
That is a real thing. And then you have Bill Nelson, the NASA administrator, a senator, congressman, born and raised here in Melbourne, who flew on the last flight before Columbia, flew on Columbia before the last flight of Challenger in January of 86. And he's never forgotten any of that.
Oh,
you know,
I'm sure.
And a lot of managers, senior managers in the program still, despite what other people might say, haven't forgotten about that. And you say, I'm not going to put us through that again. Okay, you give me all this rationale, but there's still this one piece that doesn't make sense to me. So what is
the... erring on the side of caution.
You know, and they say abundance of caution, a phrase I've learned to hate, because you can always say, well, out of abundance of caution, we're just going to sit home and do nothing. Out of an abundance of caution, Bill, I should not have come into the studio today, right?
Right.
Because,
absolutely.
You know,
might have had a car wreck.
Car wreck, you know, and all that. So life is risky. But you put that culture and that mindset and that history, and you say, this is the right thing to do. Leave Sonny and Butch up there until we can go get them with something else. Bring Starliner home, see what happens. Starliner came home, and to Boeing's credit, it worked 100% perfect. Not an issue, and they said it wasn't going to be an issue, But it wasn't Boeing's decision to make. It was NASA's decision to make.
Okay.
And the managers at Boeing did the right thing from day one. Mark Nappe, who I have a great deal of respect for, was the face and the head of Starliner, still is. He's retiring soon. National Space Club Florida Committee, as a quick plug, has awarded him their highest honor, the Space Legends and Heroes Award that he's going to be getting in April. The Space Committee recognizes the importance of what Boeing did and what they did and how they did it and how good they are. But NASA made the decision to do what it did. So now Sonny and Butcher up there, they get to spend months. You know, they say, well,
this was originally, what, a six-day trip?
It was going to be like a week trip, you know? And so, yes, I've made a week trip that turned into 2 months, and my wife was not very happy with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. You know? So there are those family issues and there's life issues. But you know what? You signed up to be an astronaut, and your dream is to fly in space. And you're up there for a week, and you get to stay for 6 months? Do you think they, for one moment, were upset by that?
Now they've gotten to do a spacewalk.
They've gotten to do a space with the ultimate
together.
Astronaut thing to do in space.
Yeah.
To go out. The view and the experience. I mean, it's just a whole nother order of magnitude crazy, more fun. And so now they'll come back. And they'll come back at the right time. A lot of logistical things to concern with. Transportation, scheduling, spacewalk scheduling. Other vehicles coming and going from the space station. It's a busy place. And so where it all fits in and what vehicle they come back on the what Dragon, what SpaceX mission, what crew mission, they got to get another crew up there before they can bring this crew back. So all those
And they've fulfilled a role while they've been there. It's not like they're up there on vacation.
No, they're up there. And the crew that was up there loved having them because, you know, most of the time you spend on the space station is maintenance, just keeping the thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you leave as much time for science as possible. When you've got two more bodies up there, two more sets of hands and feet, and the brain power and the skill level that both of those people bring to the astronaut corps and to flight operations, they're well accepted, well loved, well welcomed up there for what they've done. You know, so the science has increased, the maintenance has been done, and like we say, they got to do spacewalks. So there's no bad side to that, and they're not stuck. And anytime any of them had to come home, there are seats for all of them. End of story.
Let's go back to something we talked about the last time you were here, which is the vehicle and the spacesuits for the vehicles. They don't actually work the same way, and it takes a specific suit to come back in a specific vehicle, and that's part of the logistics that had to come into this.
That is true, and you know, if anyone's seen the movie Apollo 13 and know the story about the carbon dioxide scrubbers where the round hole had to fit the square canister, the round canister had to fit in the square hole, because the lunar module and the command module had different systems for doing the same thing.
Were they made by different companies?
Yeah, different companies,
okay,
designed by different people.
Right,
you know,
okay.
They weren't talked to. So that continues to happen throughout the aerospace industry. And so standardization is the point.
Mm-hmm.
Standards for how you do and how you build things and how you use things continues to be an issue and will continue to be something that an issue may be too strong of a word, but I think everyone recognizes that, you know, having to have different spacesuits for different spacecraft, different docking mechanisms. They made a lot of progress in docking mechanisms, you know, so that they're kind of universal.
Uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't matter what ship, but they all do handle it differently. So the situation with Sonny and Butch certainly, once again, underscored the desire that as space becomes even more busy, more popular, more active, with more vehicles and more rockets and more different kind of missions, this idea of some kind of standards and some of the basic things needs to happen. And so that's an ongoing discussion. It will continue to be discussed. There's no firm resolution where I could say, well, they're definitely all changing the suits. They're all definitely using this or doing that.
Right.
But that is an ongoing thing. That's as fundamental as whether you measure in English or metric.
Are Americans still training for Soyuz craft and launches?
Yes. That's all part of the deal. That's all part of the going back and forth.
Are they trained on each vehicle as it becomes available?
Well, it's a matter of what crew are they assigned and then what that crew is going up on, whether it's a Dragon or a mm-hmm. Soyuz. Clearly, we're relying less and less on the Soyuz, but it's still happening. Mm-hmm. It's not as prevalent as it used to be when we didn't have our own capability, but we do now. And we don't just abandon the Russians because we have our own capability. There are Russians that are flying on our vehicles too.
Sure.
So that's all the give and take and the space diplomacy of working with a partner like Russia.
And even with conflict here on Earth, you've got the Russia-Ukraine situation and our relationship with Russia in space, but being different than what it might be on the ground over between Russia and Ukraine, the scientific community, the space community, puts those things aside for the good of the program and the astronaut.
Well, it's never been an issue. The only time it ever comes up is when somebody asks the question like you just did.
It's your fault.
It's all your international diplomacy, Bill Mick.
Although I did watch a movie about that just a couple weeks ago.
Marooned.
Maybe that was it. I don't
Could
remember.
Could be the old Martin Cade movie. In all of this Russian-Ukraine thing and all the crazy things that Russia's done and the relationships we have with them at that international level, it has never gotten in the way of space. And one of the things that's neat about the Russians that I learned years ago is that when they commit to something, when they sign a contract, they hold up their end of the bargain to the letter. And so our agreements with Russia to do what we're doing in space haven't changed to my knowledge. I've not heard of any problems. I've not heard of any things where, because of Ukraine, we're not going to let you do. Now, the heads of both countries will bluster about it sometimes and say things about it sometimes and poke the bear, as it were. But at a working level, I've not heard of anything that's ever been an issue because of that. And there's certainly no talk about, shutting everything down other than the already plans to bring the space station back in another decade.
I was going to say, what's the expected lifespan of the International Space Station?
I can't answer that question right now because every time I look it up, it's a different number, and they keep talking about, it's going to definitely come back this year, this coming 10 years from now or 5 years from now, whatever, or we're going to figure out a way to keep it up for another 10 or 15 years. But the thing is old. The thing is requires more and more maintenance. It's a beautiful, wonderfully engineered miracle of human engineering and international cooperation, but it does have a lifetime, and it's going to have to come back at some point.
Is there somebody, another Elon Musk out there, preparing the next space station, whatever
it may
be?
Commercial space stations are the future of how we're going to do science in low Earth orbit.
And folks are
They're actively working
already.
Toward that and building and testing and
exciting times with what goes on in space. Our friend, veteran space reporter Jim Banky is with us, and we continue in moments right here on the Florida Roundtable.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nygaard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Space in focus this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with veteran space reporter Jim Banky. And Jim, you and I have seen it through our careers together. You've seen it for longer than I have, that when administrations change, priorities and decisions change on the direction space is taking, what's going to happen. We've seen it from Bush to Obama to Trump to Biden back to Trump now.
Yeah.
And we've got another change happening. We're in the third or fourth week of the Trump administration here. And where's he at? I mean, he's using Elon Musk for Department of Government efficiency, and he obviously respects what Musk has done. Musk has done great things for space. What are we seeing as this transition comes place? Do we have a commitment for space, and what's going on here on the Space Coast and around the state?
Yeah, that's a tall order, Bill. That's a big question, and it's a big question where there's not a lot of answers yet. There's speculation, there's direction, where you think it's probably going to go.
And you've got a history of one administration
and
of Trump.
Yeah. And you do have a history, you know, of when President Trump had his first term. So, yes, but the big picture is, yes, every time there's a change in the White House, there can naturally be and often naturally is a change in leadership because the NASA administrator is a politically appointed position.
Absolutely.
Now, we've had situations in the past where the White House has changed hands from one party to the other, and the NASA administrator stayed the same, not for an incredibly long time, but long enough to say, you know, that isn't always the case.
And there's continuity when you do that in
there
some regard.
There is some continuity. Yeah. But, of course, you know, Senator Nelson, the most recent NASA administrator, clearly a strong Democrat, loyal to his party, even before, I mean, once Trump won, you know, made very clear that he would be stepping down as the NASA administrator, and he did so, you know, after the inauguration. And so we have an acting administrator, Janet Petro, the Kennedy Space Center director, is the acting administrator. There's some intrigue to that as well.
First female administrator of NASA, as I recall.
Well, acting anyway, you know.
Somebody's got to do the job, so we're going to give her the title.
You know, women in leadership is not a new thing at NASA headquarters. So we have an announced NASA administrator, Jared Isaacman, two-time flyer, commercial flyer, paying for missions on board Dragon with SpaceX. Another one of these tech billionaire type guys, but with a strong interest in aviation and a strong interest in space. He's been there twice. On the last mission, He and another person on the crew tested out new spacesuits for walking in space.
I remember we talked about that.
Yes,
sir.
Opened up the hatch and crawled up, you know, about chest high out of the spacecraft and saw the Earth below. So he's definitely.
I was waiting for Apollo from Star Trek to play whack-a-mole.
Yeah, you know, it was almost like that. Yeah, that's funny. That's good. So in that sense, he's quote unquote one of us. You know, he's a space cadet.
He's certainly a fan.
He's a fan. He's a propeller head. He's a space cadet.
An advocate.
And I can't see how that's not going to ultimately be good for the space program in general.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens to specific NASA programs and where things happen and how things happen, of course, is where all the speculation is because we don't know yet. He's not been confirmed. He will be soon. I have no doubt he'll be confirmed. It's just a matter of scheduling and logistics and process. And then when he comes on board, we'll see what he does. And we'll see what the new administration, the returning administration, does with their budget and how that affects everything from where things happen at different space centers to what are we launching, when are we launching, and what our mission is. President Trump, in his inaugural address, did mention going to Mars as a priority. You know, there's no specifics behind that, nor should there be yet. But it's all kind of all the presents are getting wrapped and maybe put under the tree, and we're excited because Jared is an advocate for all of it. He's behind all of it. What he can do and how he can do it and what his marching orders are from the administration, we don't know yet. I have to believe that it's all going to be very positive. Ultimately, I think we'll see growing pains. I think we'll see programs shuffle around maybe a little bit. We have people concerned about it, rightly so, and I feel for that. The news late Friday, where Boeing brought their space launch system team together and said, you know, by law, we need to give you this piece of advice or this warning that it's possible that in 90 days we'll see a reduction in funding for our space launch system, and which may mean layoffs. That doesn't mean it's definitely going to happen. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have indications that it's definitely going to happen. But because people are people and we want to treat them with respect, there are laws in place that says if you're going to have a giant layoff at a giant company, you know, we need to at least give you some warning to make you think.
Mm-hmm.
Not make you think, to have you start thinking about what would be your plans.
And you can be prepared.
So I didn't read too much into that notice other than that it was the appropriate thing to do. Now, what are the possibilities? Well, you know, you have a goal to go back to the moon and on to Mars. There are about a million different ways to do it with a million different ways of hardware and configurations and mission schemes that you could come up with depending on your resources and your money and what's available. Now, am I ready to start ticking off all those ideas for you and start saying, well, we're going to cancel this and build that and do this and do that? My speculation is as good as anybody else's. There's any number of ways to do this. NASA has a way that they've been working on. Will that continue to be the way to get to the moon with Artemis and the vehicles, the Space Launch System, the Orion spacecraft, a human landing system for the moon? Will that be what it is? I don't know. But I think we're definitely going back to the moon and on to Mars. I think that's written into our DNA, and it's going to happen one way or the other. How much of it is led by NASA? How much of it is conducted by people like the folks at SpaceX and Blue Origin and others that are out there talking about contributing?
While we're talking about NASA, there are rumbles in the media recently about potentially moving NASA headquarters here to Florida, specifically on the Space Coast.
Since the very beginning of certainly the Apollo program, when we started talking about going to the moon and start launching people into space, beginning with the Mercury astronauts, Gemini, and then Apollo, there were people saying, why are we building this space center in Houston to train the astronauts and run the mission when they launch from here, when they launch from Florida? Why don't you just put everything in Florida? Why do you build the Saturn V and the rockets and later shuttle components and even now Artemis components and some commercial vehicles. Why do you build them in Alabama and then go to the expense and technical risk of shipping them to Florida only to have to be all checked out and inspected again before they can be launched? Why do you do that? Well, you do that because there's a political reality that says you want to put your space centers in various districts around the United States so that you can garner the support of those legislative folks, those senators, those congresspeople, so that we have the funding to support a government national space program. Now, has that paradigm shifted? Has that paradigm changed now? Does the current administration feel that we don't need that kind of we don't need that kind of I don't even know what the right word is, and writing is my business. that kind of setup where that incentive for each of these congressional people to have things going on in their district. Of course, they're going to want to protect their jobs, their constituents. So ultimately what I'm saying is, can you make a case to say, well, let's move NASA headquarters to Florida? Can you make a case to say, well, let's just shut down the Johnson Space Center?
Well, in an era of Department of Government efficiency and the actions we've seen taken in these first weeks of a Trump administration, you would think consolidation may be part of that and part of that discussion. But then do you lose congressional support for the funding?
Sometimes common sense doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, and so, sure, common sense. Well, let's put it all here in Florida. You know, and as a loyal Floridian, as a loyal Kennedy Space Center guy from the very beginning of my childhood, I say, absolutely, let's bring it all here because I'm loyal to KSC and we're the best, and everyone else can just go not.
We are the Space Coast. There you go.
Go not win the Super Bowl. So, you know, maybe it's a good idea, but maybe it's an absolute stupid idea. And it makes sense to continue to have everything spread out the way it is. And I'm not going to judge one way or the other. I'm just going to present the facts and say those are the two sides of the story. And we'll see. But it's very interesting that Janet Petro got to be the acting administrator when, until the day it was actually announced, there were other plans. And it kind of came as a surprise to everybody. And I think it's neat that she's the acting administrator. Does it mean anything more than just that? I don't know.
One other quick question before we end the segment here. Does the world recognizing there's a defense component to what goes on to space, does that make this more broad-based, more, and I'm running out of time even just asking the question, but that's got to help the space program down the road, that is going to be more necessary than ever.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a reason why we have a Space Force now instead of an Air Force.
And we're back in moments on the Roundtable.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device is one of the most important decisions you can make while boating. Today, there are several types of life jackets available, so you can find one that's comfortable and convenient to wear no matter what you're doing. And thanks to incredible advances in inflatable technology and innovative materials development, safety and comfort can both be a priority. Stay safe, stay comfortable, wear it Florida. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
That sound is every driver's worst fear. How much will the repairs cost? Is it your engine, your transmission, or worse? A car breakdown could cost you thousands to repair, but not if you have CarShield. CarShield administrators pay your claims directly to the mechanic or dealer of your choice, saving you time and money. Call CarShield today before your next breakdown. Call 800-954-1023. That's 800-954-1023.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-577-2648. That's 1-800-577-2648.
Back on the Florida Roundtable with Jim Bankey, I'm Bill Mick. Jim, you were mentioning the Space Force created by President Trump during his first term. Patrick Space Force Base here on the Space Coast, renamed from Patrick Air Force Base. And it is a different future for the world, I guess.
Yeah, it was more than, in a way, it was more than just a signage change. And I'm glad I'm not writing as regularly about the space program now. I'm more into aeronautics at the moment, but I'm not sure my muscle memory can handle typing out Patrick Space Force Base instead of Patrick Air Force Base. You know, could used to do that in my sleep. No, I think that was an interesting change. There was some mockery about Star Trek and Starfleet and all that back when it happened.
And the logo got close.
And
I
the
like
logo
that.
Got close, yeah. You know, and the logo was, I love the logo. I love the whole look.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was, in my opinion, it was the right thing to do. It was a needed thing to do. There were elements of the space program that, in terms of military, that were embedded in all the different branches with different responsibilities, different procurement structures, different. And so bringing it all together in a Space Force, just like the Air Force was created out of the Army back just after World War II, that made sense as well because the air element had grown so big that it didn't make sense to have it housed within the Army.
Evident it was going to be an integral part of what happened defense-wise down the road.
Absolutely.
Are we seeing that with space now,
so
too?
I think we are. And so right now, it's a matter of, you know, there are military assets in space that need to be operated for the defense of the nation, for national security. There are future threats out there that are both Earth origin and extraterrestrial in origin, and I'm talking about asteroids. I'm not talking about little green men.
Okay,
you know, and so it makes sense to me anyway, in my feeble way of thinking, that we have a Space Force dedicated to those specific things going on, and do we have a future where space is a home for Star Wars, a home for battles in space? Well, we see sometimes evidence of tampering, lasers, kinetic vehicles wanting to be tested to take out a satellite. We certainly have the whole cyber warfare thing going on to try to hack into our systems, maybe take down GPS. You know, those are all concerns that we have to protect against, and it makes sense to me to have a Space Force. So you have Patrick, you have Cape Canaveral, obviously launch operations is the key there, but across the nation, across the state, across the nation, to have this increased emphasis on space as a military asset is, I think, is the right way to go and is the cool thing to have happening. Now, are there threats out there that we need to be aware of, and would there be a military role? Absolutely. Making news just in the last few weeks was this asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly a couple hundred feet big. If it hit the Earth and hit it in the right spot, I think the latest number I saw was like a 30-mile diameter gone, wiped out. Just wherever it hits, 30 miles in diameter from that point, or 15-mile radius, or however you want to measure it, gone. Just that's it, done. Now, it could hit in the middle of a forest, and who cares? Could hit the middle of the ocean, and maybe there's a tidal. I don't know. Hits Manhattan.
It's a different story.
It's a different story. When the astronomers first saw it a few months ago, I think they predicted a 1% chance of it hitting in 2032. This past weekend, the news was that they've raised that to 2% chance.
It's doubled, Jim.
It's doubled.
Yeah.
But that normally happens. Astronomers will continue to study this thing. It'll, you know, and so sometimes the risk goes up, and then ultimately it goes away as they get to know the orbit better. But it will happen someday.
So does that mean, like in so many science fiction shows or movies we've seen, that we'll be looking at trying to divert those things from coming toward the Earth, that type of thing?
Yep, absolutely. All those options are out there. Do you send up a nuclear missile and break it into 1,000 pieces to burn up? Maybe, I don't know. Do you
be a beautiful night sky if that occurred?
Could be.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say that, you know, well, making one target into millions of target is not a good idea. But on the other hand, millions of targets are a lot smaller and easier to burn up. So I don't know. Deflecting it, NASA's already proven by slamming a spacecraft into an asteroid that it can deflect the course of an asteroid. That's been proven in the last couple of years. A job for the military, perhaps, certainly in concert with the entire assets of the space program. Will it be needed? Who knows? Maybe not for this particular asteroid coming in to a neighborhood near you in 7 years. But maybe not. But at some point in the future, because, you know, the universe is made the way it is in the solar system, and we have Earth history to look at, it's going to be an issue, and we're going to need to have resources ready to go to defend the planet.
Time is always too short when he's with us. We come back to wrap it up with space reporter Jim Banky next on the Roundtable.
Ticks can transmit Lyme disease and other dangerous illnesses. Protect yourself and your family with Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent. Clothing and outdoor gear treated with Green Armor Insect Repellent repels and kills ticks, chiggers, mites, and mosquitoes for up to 6 weeks. The handy spray bottle makes it easy to apply this odorless layer of protection. Green Armor Insect Repellent is available at garden centers, hardware stores, and at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-621-4764. 800-621-4764. That's 800-621-4764.
It'll never happen to me. I'll never need help. That's what every boater thinks. But then one day, you do need help, and you have no way of getting it because you thought having an emergency locator beacon was unnecessary. You're wrong. Emergency locator beacons are effective, affordable, and they save lives. Seriously, if not for you, do it for them.
Learn more about emergency locator beacons at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Love the outdoors. Florida's transit connects to nature. From lush parks to peaceful nature reserves, Florida's transit system makes it easy to explore the beauty of the great outdoors without the stress of traffic. Whether it's a day at the beach or hiking through scenic state parks, we've got you covered. Leave the car behind. Take the bus or rail and let nature take care of the rest. Transit connects you to adventure and Florida's natural beauty. Take a ride to your next outdoor escape. Visit transitconnectsflorida.com for routes that connect you to nature.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Veteran space reporter Jim Banky with us as we wrap up the Florida Roundtable for this weekend. Thanks for spending your time with us here on the Florida News Network. Jim, you mentioned potential threats from space, and you quickly said not little green men, but the asteroids, and we were talking about that. But you know, the president has promised and has released documents from various conspiracies through the years, RFK, JFK, Martin Luther King, those assassinations. I'm waiting for the UFO files to be released. And do you expect anything to ever come from any of those?
Well, there's what I wish, and then there's probably reality, and I don't think they match up. What I wish
that's
is
what
absolutely.
I want to see released, though. I want to see that one.
I want to know that Independence Day was based on an actual, you know, realized document where they have the secret aliens at plant or at Area 51.
I want to find out that it's not, that it was all fiction, but okay.
No. I want it real. I want proof. I want that we're reverse engineering spacecraft right now at China
Lake.
Now,
I do want that part, but I want them to be friendly, not Romulans or Klingons.
I want proof that they've been watching us for all these years and there have been secret meetings, and wouldn't that just be crazy?
It would.
But no, I think everything I've seen, and there's been a lot of stuff about UFOs, and I guess there's some new acronym for it, but I refuse to adopt it.
Yeah.
You know, this or that, or testing this or that, or just weird.
Well, we had the drone thing over predominantly New Jersey not that long ago.
That's right. The drones are a big deal. But whether that turns out anything, I don't know. But I want it to be real, and I think there's life out there, and I'm pretty sure there's life out there, and I think there's all sorts of consequences to our culture when we finally discover that. Even if we find proof of microbes in Mars, or heaven help us, living creatures in the waters of Europa, in Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we're gonna go up there, and we've to find out pretty soon. So
all said,
all exciting.
It's an exciting world, and we are on the cusp of it here in Florida.
Oh, this is I'm so, this is so cool right now. Yes, there's hand wringing and there's concerns and there's politics and there's personalities and folks should be nervous and folks should not be nervous, and I feel for and how we're all going to be affected by this. But when it's all said and done, there are so many interested people in doing things in space, and we're seeing it. We're seeing the buildings go up. We're seeing our horizon here on the Space Coast change almost every day, what our skyline looks like with these buildings going up. And that means people are coming to Florida, not only to work and live in Brevard, but certainly all of Central Florida and really all around the state in terms of businesses that are supporting our space program in one way or the other. The future is so bright. The future is so busy. There are things happening. What SpaceX is doing in Texas is going to get moved here someday. Blue Origin is going to continue to grow. There are other companies out there doing stuff. Space Florida, our state space agency, continues to attract new businesses and are talking to other businesses. The future here is so exciting and so bright that I can't wait to continue to sleep through more launches in the middle of the night.
And that's going to keep coming because we're on a record pace.
It's so busy. Yeah.
It is. And that's amazing to see. It's good for the state. It's good for the country. Good for the world, Jim.
Oh, talk about U.S. leadership. That's such a key part of this whole thing, that we have to maintain our leadership. We must maintain our leadership. And what we're doing here in Florida is helping to make that a reality. And I don't see that going away anytime soon.
And that's fantastic to see. Jim Banky, never enough time when we're together. We'll have you back throughout the year as things change and progress. And I'll see you next week right here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Catch up with our podcasts at BillMick.com.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.